2 Kings chapter 2, and starting with chapter 2. I want to bring this message theme to you this morning: commitment that leads to transformation. Yes. Commitment that leads to transformation. Now, there's two characters in here that we're going to be talking about, and that is Elijah and Elisha. The Bible is going to show us here that in commitment, there's something about being committed to something. No matter what gets in your way, that you will just allow that focus on that commitment that you have and to move forward until you come and you become to that you're committed. And that's either Jesus Christ or marriage or relationships or whatever it is. But we'll touch on that as we go through this. And as I was studying this lesson, it's a lesson that's really, really powerful, because we have a world today. They don't want to be committed to nothing. You know, they pledge, and then as soon as something comes up with one another, all of a sudden they're ready to throw in the towel and move on to something else better. But you never realize this, is that something else better always has extra baggage with it. So it continues. If we don't allow God to take care of where we're at, we're going to continue going in a cycle in the same thing. So let's turn to chapter 2 and start with the first verse. And it says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Now, this is real interesting, because as we go through this lesson, you're going to see almost similar to what Jesus Christ and his disciples, you know, when he got to the mount, when he resurrected, he went back to the mountain that he told them to meet him at. And they too knew that he was getting ready to go, you know. And so Elijah knows this, but he wants to keep his focus on one thing. I want to be around this man of God until I get whatever I can get out of him, you know, until God takes him. So let's continue on. Verse 2 says, "Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel." Now, you might want to know what Elijah's trying to do. What Elijah's trying to do is he's testing his disciple. And he's seeing if he can see any inconsistencies in his commitment to following him and becoming a prophet like Elijah. So he gives him the opportunity. "Why don't you stay here? You know, I got some important things, you know." And we might think, well, what's so big about that? It's because a lot of times in our commitment, it's real easy to be on the wayside, you know, and say, you know, for a little while, I'm not going to be that committed in reading my Bible or praying or witnessing to people. Or, you know, this commitment with Jesus, it'll always be with me. And after a while, we get really complacent. And this is what Elijah, through the Lord, is using Elijah to say, "Hey, why don't you just stay here a while? You know, you could come with me when we go over to Jericho." But what did Elijah do? In his commitment, he goes, "Uh-uh, you're not doing that to me. I'm committed to this thing." And remember back in 1 Kings chapter 19 through 21, this was the very first sight that God called Elijah to go get Elijah when he was plowing the oxen, remember? He was plowing the oxen, and he came and he threw his mantle. Now, when I used to read that in the Bible before, I thought a mantle was like a big stick or something that, you know, the prophets all had. But what it was his cloak. It was a cloak that he wore to keep himself warm or kept the sun off him. But he came by while Elijah was plowing the field, and he threw the cloak on top of me. And all of a sudden, Elijah stopped. He goes, and all of a sudden, Elijah knew, you know, knowing about the prophet ministry, he knew what was going on. But he had something to take care of. He had to make sure that mom and dad knew, "Hey, look, I'm gone. You know, I'm not going to be here plowing the field." So make a long story short, he killed the oxen. He cut up the wood, and he roasted all that, and he fed his family, giving him the last thing. And he had told Elijah, he says, "I'm going to follow you, but can I go back?" And he goes, "Whatever you want to do, go do it." So he did it. And once he did that, he followed Elijah. And that's where we have him right here. Just when he's getting ready to go, Elijah tells him once again, why don't you just ease? You know, we've done a lot of traveling. We've been walking around, you know, ministering to a lot of these evil kings. Why don't you just take it easy? You know, that's what the enemy likes to do to us. You know, he don't care if you're a Christian, but when you're an on fire Christian, he doesn't like that at all, because then you start disturbing the kingdom of darkness. But if he can get you to ease off and say, hey, you know what? You've been serving the Lord for a long time. You know, why don't you just take a rest? You know, why don't you just retire from, you know, that type of thing? You know what? I'm not going to give the devil any onslaught on my life. I'm going to be committed to God until God puts me in the grave and takes me home. Amen. I want the spirit of Elisha where he just said, I'm following. You're not leaving me in the dust. Okay, so verse 3. Now the sons of the prophet who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Now, he wasn't being smart. What it was is he wanted his focus. These guys here were prophets too, and they all realized that Elijah was going to go. But they're here bugging him, you know, and say, hey, you know that Elijah, why are you continue following Elijah? He's going to go. You know, we all got confirmation that God's going to take Elijah. And so Elijah says, hey, be silent. I don't want to hear nothing. All I want to hear is what Elijah's telling me. All I want to do is follow him and really understand how to follow God. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you what. That's what we need more in our heart. I want to follow God. I want to follow you, Jesus, mm-hmm. so I can know everything I need to be, that I can transform my life and think different than I do. Because how many know that we have this fight with the battle of the flesh? Mm-hmm. And the flesh wants to be on the onslaught. It wants to dictate to us, you know, like in our own nature. But unless we're digging in that Bible, unless we're digging in a prayer, unless we're just really being solid into our commitment, you know, we'll listen to it. How many people have I known say, why are you still following the Lord in that avenue? Why, you know, God's going to come pretty soon. He's always said he's going to come pretty soon. Why are you still following, believing like he's going to come? Because that's what I believe. When I follow Jesus, I see the world and what it is. It gets me to know that I'm not going to listen to anything anybody tells me. I'm going to keep continue following Jesus until he comes. Amen. So this is what Elijah said. You know what? Be silent. Shut your mouth. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear negativity. How many know that if you listen to negativity for a while, it eventually seeps inside your soul and spirit? It does. And once it does, and when we give negativity a room in our heart, that's when trouble starts. It really does. It really. There's always people that are going to tell us what we should do. And we know a long time ago that never has worked. Amen. But we know if we follow Jesus and he tells us what to do, we're going to be just like Elijah. I'm going to continue following. And you know what? I don't care what you say or what happens. I'm moving on. Okay, verse 4. Then Elijah said to him, Elijah, stay here, please. For the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord liveth, as your soul liveth, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. So once again, he tries it again. He tests the disciple. And Elijah said, nah, I'm continue on. Verse 5. Now the sons of the prophet who were at Jericho came to Elijah and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? So he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. So how many times in a commitment to Jesus are we going to hear people's negativity of why we should just live our own life and stop following this Jesus and following this ancient Bible that has been written 2,000 years ago? Why do you continue studying that? There's always people in the outside here, and even within the church sometimes, they have that negativity. We need to have the boldness and our commitment to say, keep silent. I don't want to hear it. Okay, if you don't have anything positive to say, you don't have anything positive to say about my Jesus, then move on. Because I got a commitment and I got somewhere I'm going. And that's what Elijah was saying. He goes, hey, look it, you guys all claim to be prophets. Then why don't you just keep silent? Why don't you be following Elijah like I am until he goes? You know, and it's the same way. When I look at the situation between Elijah and Elijah, it's like Jesus and the disciples. There was always somebody telling them, why are you following Jesus? Mm-hmm. You know, why are you following this false Messiah? Why are you doing this? And they just continued on. You know why? Because they were committed and they weren't going to let the outside world tell them with the, how they should live. Amen. That is a commitment, I'll tell you. Verse 6, then Elijah said to him, Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, Elijah, as the Lord liveth, as your soul liveth, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now, these are the onlookers. You know, these are the ones that say that they're Christians and you know, they're apostles and, you know, they really believe Jesus. But these are the people you see. They stay at a distance and they wait until something, a move of God happens in a ministry or in a church or something. And then they're the first ones in there to say, yeah, you know, I'm a part of this church. But the real committed ones are the ones when nothing like that's going on and they're seeking God, seeking for a move of God to happen. Those are the real committed Christians. Those are the ones that will see the after effect of their commitment. So verse 7, and the 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that way so that the two of them crossed over dry ground. Wow. These guys are from a distance. These are supposed to be prophets. They're looking at a distance. They're seeing this miracle happen. But Elijah's right there. He's right there, right beside Elijah. You know, he's not over in a distance. His commitment got him right up front. And you know what? I want to have that commitment where I'm right up front. It reminds me of the old church I used to go to. They had a little sign up in the back. If you're in the back pew, you would see it. And it says, move up front. Near to God. I never forgot that sign. I loved it, you know, because, you know, it just told it like it was. You know, God's not here in the back. God's right there in the front, you know. And yeah, that's one. There's some things I learned from that church, man. And you know, I'll tell you the truth. Whenever I went to church, I always wanted to be right there in the front, you know. If the message was going to be direct at me and he came at me, then I deserve to be right there. But, you know, but there's people that come in, and in churches we had, the people come in and they'll stay in the back there. And that's what happens. They stay in the back there. Unless the whole place is crowded, then you have to resort to just staying in the back. But if it's there's seats filled and you're way back here, that's where you're going to stay. Just like these prophets. When the miracles happen, it's not going to happen back here. It's going to happen right there in front. In front there where people that are committed are wanting to receive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But you know what I like about what we've covered so far? I love the commitment of Elijah. He had a relationship between him and Elijah that nothing was going to stand in his way. Look at all the things, all the detours of people coming here. Hey, you know, so-and-so is going to leave. And he just kept telling them, you know, I don't want to hear it. That's what we should do in our relationships. Especially marriage. Remember this, beloved. If you remember anything, in your marriage, it's not going to be rock solid all the time. There's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be things that, you know, we wish wouldn't happen, but it happened. But if we're committed to Jesus Christ, and just like Elijah, if we're committed to God, He's going to help us out. Remember the threefold cord that Solomon talked about in Ecclesiastes. If you have a threefold cord, nothing can break that. And what strengthens us, the threefold cord, is Jesus Christ, the head of the marriage, of the relationship. If you have that and you're committed to that, let me tell you, nothing the enemy will do will break up your relationship. But like I said earlier, there's so many young people that get married and it's just, you know, they have fun for it for a while and like they're playing house. And then when things really do get bad, they're ready to jump ship. That's not a commitment. A commitment to two individuals are people that say, you know what? I may not like what's going on in my marriage, but I'm going to pray with Jesus to help us to whatever separated within our hearts, to bind that thing back together so we can be strong and so that we can be the marriage that God wants in our life. And that's what's wrong with this whole world. Our politicals, leaders, and just look around. We have too many people that say they're committed to a certain situation, and when it comes down, they're breaking their commitment by doing all these evil things around. God help us that we would be committed like that. Amen. So it brings us to our first point today. And our first point today is, commitment that is focused guides us past distraction. Commitment that is focused guides us past distraction. That is so true. So true. And we've seen that with Elisha, huh? No matter what they said, he just said, hey, I don't want to hear it. When you hear negativity or gossip, that's what we need to say. I don't want to hear it. I want to move on. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10 and 37. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37.
Would you repeat that point one more time?
Commitment that is focused guides us past distraction.
Amen.
So what's the opposite of that? When your commitment is not focused, distraction will take you away from your commitment.
Matthew what?
Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 37. St. Matthew chapter 37, 10 and 37. And this is what Jesus tells his followers, and we're his followers, so he's basically speaking to us as well. And 10 and 37 says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, is Jesus a real killjoy? He just doesn't want us to love our family? No, that's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is that in our commitment, and it's real easy, if you love your kids and mother and father, it will distract you from being committed to God and what those kids or the family that are outside of Christ. It'll distract you from saying what you need to say to them. So Jesus really has a lot here. Verse 38, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And then 39, he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses life for my sake will find it.
Amen.
You know, you always hear that, and I've heard it many times, where somebody in a marriage relationship said, well, yeah, we broke up because I'm trying to find myself. Well, you know what? Jesus tells us here, you're never going to find it. The only way you're going to find it, the only way you're going to find it is you find him. Then you'll find life. Because Jesus is life. Jesus is what commitment. When you're committed to him, he shows you what a commitment is. Especially, you know, people always want to, in commitment, they look at it as such a negativity because it's like forever and ever I have to be in that situation. You don't think of it. When you're really committed and you're really in love, you don't look at it that way. You look at it, I'll make it work whatever it takes, Lord, with your help. Amen. Okay, so let's go back to 2 Kings as we follow Elijah and Elijah. We're starting with verse 9. And so it was when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask whatever I may do for you before I'm taken away from you. And Elijah said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Wow. That's what I want to ask. Lord, if you ask me anything, I'm going to say, let a double portion of who you are in my life. That's what I want. And now look what Elijah says. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. The reason why he said it's a hard thing, because Elijah was telling Elisha, I don't have the power to give to you. But if you see me in the air, going in the air, just like the rapture, he's going to be raptured up in front of him. If you see that, then you believe it, and if it's God's will, boom, you'll get that request. Now, you know what's really interesting here? I see Jesus in this scripture right here. You say, well, how do you see Jesus? Because when he was out on the Mount of Olives and he was getting ready to leave, he told his disciples, he says, tarry here in Jerusalem until you are endured with the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. And then it said, as soon as he rose up into heaven, as a matter of fact, I was looking at it just earlier before you guys came here, and as he was rolling, they were looking in the air, and I mean, that must have been something. Mm-hmm. A bodily raised Christ going up in the air, and they were looking. All of a sudden, the angel says, oh, men of Galilee, what are you looking at? Mm-hmm. You know, why are you staring and gazing? you know, go down to what the Lord said. And then they did, and they got together. They all got together with Mother, the Mary of Jesus, and they prayed until all of a sudden the Spirit of God, like a mighty western wind, boom, and fell on all of them. They began to speak with tongues as the Lord gave it the utterance. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And people tell me that that doesn't happen today. It does. It does. It does. Amen. But you got to be looking. You got to be seeking God and waiting for that promise. It sometimes it don't come on you right away. But if you keep seeking, I'm a known fact that you seek enough, He'll fill you. Hallelujah. Okay, so after verse 10, he says, "So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Verse 11, "Then it happened as they continued on talk, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with a horse of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven." Now, Elijah never died.
No.
He was raptured up. He was taken up.
The only one.
Well, Enoch. Enoch also. Enoch was righteous before God. He also went up. Now, just to stop here, just to kind of give you a taste bud for the revelations. A lot of commentators say that Elijah and Enoch might be the two witnesses because they were the only ones that were raised up without dying. So that's just something to think about. But see how this old, a lot of people, you say, "Oh, what do you read out of the Old Testament? You can't find anything." What do we found? We found about Jesus. We found about the book of Revelation, the two witnesses, possibly. I mean, there's so much. Amen. Actually, to understand Revelation, you have to know, you have to have some knowledge of the Old Testament, because a lot of the sayings and things that are done in there are exactly what John writes in there. Okay, so verse 12, Elijah saw it, and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took a hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Now, a lot of the Jewish people, when they were grieved about something, they would rip their clothes. You know, that was, and what he was saying there, my father, the chariots of father, he was saying, the hope of Israel has just left us, you know. And that's why he was saying that. Verse 13, he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. See, if he wasn't looking up, he might have not seen where that old robe was whooshing around, you know. He took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he struck the water and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And when he also struck the water, it was divided this way and that way. And Elijah crossed over. Verse 15, now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elijah." And they came to meet him and bowed to him, bowed the ground before him. Now, what is really unique is Elijah was determined to stay with Elijah until he took off. And then when he took off, there was a transformation that happened to him. Amen. And I'd like to ask us today, just as I feel the Spirit of God, and that is, what is it that you need and want? What is it that God can do for us? Amen. Just like Elijah told Elijah, what is it I can do for you before I leave? Before we leave this building, what is it that you need Jesus to do for you? Amen. Think about that as we come to the end of this chapter. But I just felt to say that. What is it that you need Jesus to give you? Okay, so he took the mantle and struck the water, and he was the transformation of the spirit of Elijah came upon him. Verse 19, then they said, "Look, then they said, look, now there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master. At least perhaps the Spirit of God has taken him up and cast him up upon a mountain or into some valley." And he said, "You shall have said no one." See, they were thinking that God took him and maybe put him in another direction to minister somewhere else. They didn't believe. Elijah knew already. He's seen. The God opened up his spiritual eyes to see that the chariot of fire that was taking him up to heaven. But these guys, they just thought that it was just another thing that God did with Elijah. But see, that's what happens. When you stand afar, like these prophets were, looking in the distance, scared of really using your gift that God gave you, then you're gonna, that's what those kind of people are going to be. They're going to be in the background, just always wishing that they could have the faith to launch out. But Elijah wasn't. He operated in that faith. Amen. Okay. Verse 17. But they urged him, Elijah, until he was ashamed, and he said, send them. Therefore, they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. Verse 18. And when they came back to him, for he stayed in Jericho, he said to them, did I not say to you, don't go? He had already told them, why are you going? But they were all, you know, they looked at a distance, they seen the double portion of Elijah on him, and they wanted that. You know, that's where a lot of people are. And they go, hey, look, we want to be a part of this ministry. We want what you have. And they're running around all over the valley, and they come back, and they're all tired. They go, we didn't find anything. He goes, well, I told you that. I already told you. But you bugged me, and you bugged me, and bugged me, so I just let you go. You know, I let you go and do what you want. Sometimes that's what happens to people. All of a sudden, they get this urge of a little commitment, and they want to be right there. And all of a sudden, when they're not getting to that place, they're all discouraged. Well, you're all discouraged because you never really found out how to be committed. That's what Elijah was saying. If you're committed, you're going to find it. But if you just commit because you see something you want, and God's not going to allow that to happen. And so we see Elijah's commitment brought such a transformation. And you know what? It's not just going to happen now, but it's going to happen now from through the various chapters we go on. He's going to be the Elijah, the new Elijah, to these people that he'll have to minister to. But what a transformation to have faith and say, the God, where is the God of Elijah? And he, by his faith and what he seen his master do, his teacher, he did just like his teacher did. And it happened to him just like it did for his teacher. Mm-hmm. Oh, beloved, let me tell you, if you are a follower and you're absorbing what God has given to you through this message, whatever, you also can have the same transformation power and faith as your teacher. Thank you. Amen. And this is what God's showing us here. And when they came back to him, for he stayed in Jericho, he said to him, did not I say, don't go? So we'll stop there. It brings us to our second point and what we looked at. So much you can absorb out of this. Beautiful, beautiful chapter. But here's something I want us to think about. Point two, the transformation of a disciple is when he becomes like his teacher. Mm-hmm. The transformation of a disciple is when he becomes like his teacher.
Or she.
Or she, yeah. Yeah, he or she. It doesn't matter. It's your commitment. Amen. And it's funny because my wife and I were talking about my senior pastor and all the things that he taught us. And there's a lot of things that I do in my ministry that were things I learned being close to him. Because that's when, man, when God called me to the ministry, I didn't know what I was doing. But I just stayed by his side and going through all the things I needed to learn. Amen. Our scripture reference will be Luke chapter 6 and 40. 6 and 40. Luke chapter 6 and 40.
Amen.
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 Well, I can't say amen because I haven't found it yet. Okay, here we are. 6 and 40. And Jesus says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained or completely trained will be like his teacher. Amen.
What verse?
Luke chapter 6 and 40.
Oh, that was an AM.
Okay. Luke 6 and 40. Got it?
Got it.
Okay. Jesus says, disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfect or completely trained will be like his teacher. And this is what Jesus verifies this. He says, in your commitment, he said to them, if you are my disciples and you're committed, then what you become is going to become what I show you. Amen. Now, I want to be like that with Jesus.
Yes.
I want to be just like Him. Amen. Okay, so let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 19 now. Chapter 2, verse 19, as we wrap this lesson up. Amen. Now, we've seen that the prophets stood afar. They seen the power of Elijah on them. But now, the rest of the tribe of Israel would be able to see that Elijah is now the new prophet in Elijah's standing. He's going to be recognized by the leadership. Verse 19, then the men of the city said to Elijah, please notice, the situation of the city is pleasing, but as my Lord sees it, but the water is bad and the ground is barren. And he said, bring me new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed this water from it there shall be no more death or barrenness. So the water remained healed to this day according to the word of Elijah which he spoke. So the first, the second miracle was through Elijah's faith. He said, bring me a bowl. Now, a lot of these things, a lot of these remedies they use just don't make sense. Put, you know, give me a new bowl. Why can't you give him an old bowl? Give me a new bowl with salt in it. And he put salt in it and the water became purified. Amen. And salt is a purifier to soften water for those that have those kind of things. And so God revealed this to him as the prophet. And then all the people, you know, they knew that, hey, we have a new prophet in town. And he has the manna of Elijah. Hallelujah. So this was the first time that the city itself recognized Elijah in his ministry. Okay, so verse 23. Then he went up from there to Bethel, and he was going up to the road, and some youth came out from the city mocking him and said to him, go up, bald head. Go up, you bald head. Now, some commentators say that these were teenagers, and because the northern part of Israel, remember they were in false idols, and remember that the king of Israel there, he had real disrespect from any prophet. Remember he said, there you troublemaker. They called them troublemakers because they would tell them the truth. Well, apparently these kids must have heard from their families what they thought of prophets. So they were out there mocking Elijah. Now look what happens. Then he went up from there to Bethel and he was going up the road and some youths came from the city and mocked him and said, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. So he turned around and he looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youth. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel and from there he returned to Samaria. Yep. So anyway, we have here a gang of youths on his way home. He cursed them in the name of the Lord. And the result were they were killed by two bears that came out of the wood. The confirmation. And let me tell you, when those youth were killed, the people around there that mocked anything about the ministry of the prophet, I guarantee they were scared to death to put their mouth on it. I mean, it's kind of cruel when you look at it, but in those days, those prophets didn't mess around, you know.
What's sad is probably some didn't even faze them.
Yeah.
And they saw it too.
Now remember, he finally returns to Samaria. We know that Samaria is all full of false idols. And he's going to be dealing with the king of the northern tribe of Israel who are still walking in there. But what I want us to look at is that it's so beautiful how God does things. People that are right up recognize the prophets from a distance. They recognize the mantle and the transformation of Elijah. But it wasn't until he moved into the city and God began to do those miracles again, the transformation became citywide and at that time. So it brings us to our last two points. Last point. Also, when God did that miracle about the drinking water, this is something to think about. It shows us that God meets everyday needs. You know, they could have brought something deep, deeper than that, but he just to purify the water. That's an everyday need. You need water, you know. So it shows us that God meets those everyday needs. Point three is this. Those who truly walk with God will be recognized as his people. Those who truly walk with God will be recognized as his people. Our scripture reference will be Acts chapter 4 and 13. Acts chapter 4 and 13. Those who truly walk with God will be recognized as his people. Acts chapter 4 and 13. Does everybody have that? Uh-uh. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. All right. This is Chris. Okay, 4 and 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Wow.
That's why he uses the dungeon.
You see that scripture there? If that's your Bible, underline it, outline it, because that's the transformation we're looking for in our commitment. We might not know the Bible backward and forward. We might not know this and that, but the thing in our commitment that we know that we will stick with Jesus, that God will work in you, a wonder among people, and they'll know that you might not be trained, but you have a relationship with Jesus. Oh, that's what I want. That is what I want so bad, is to have people recognize that I have a relationship with Jesus. Lord, thank you this morning for this lesson. And Lord, it is our heart. Help us, Lord, in our commitment. Those of us, God, that have fallen away, help us all together. We commit to our commitment to you, that we may have a commitment in you, Lord, that will lead such a new transformation in our life, that people will recognize us as your followers. And we thank you today, this morning, God, and give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.